I've had this kind of talent in my blood since I was a kid, having chats with my dad about shares and the stock market and investments and properties and all those kind of things. I had it in my blood. Also, my grandfather was a highly successful investor and a consultant, tax consultant. That, yeah, I think he passed on that DNA to me. Let's put it that way. But yeah, so what do? I reinvented myself and made stock market trading my career.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors healthcare.
Isn't it great when we have the opportunity to live in a foreign country? But how do we go about making a living when we do? Today's guest, John Radcliffe, found himself in that predicament. So he turned his passion of investing in the stock market into his career because we all have access. John is a share market trader, an educator, an entrepreneur of property, an investor, and a success coach whose life purpose now is helping people find their true passion in life, finding financial freedom through trading. So let's have a listen to how John's interesting story started. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Anne. And I was really happy to be here and do this recorded interview with you today.
I always start off by finding out a little bit of a background and just to find out where you are. You're an Australian, but you don't live in Australia. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's a bit of a funny story. I grew up in Sydney, Australia, and spent most of my adult life there and then went on a around-the-world trip for a year, as Australians do. Love to travel. And, yeah, as part of that around-the-world trip, I ended up in South America after 5 months in Europe and met a lady who later became my wife, brought her back to Australia. We lived there for a while. And when she was pregnant in 2009, decided that she really wanted her kid to grow up in her own culture in Argentina. So I went through an enormous shift in learning a new language. And I'm living in Argentina and Buenos Aires now, to answer your question, and loving it.
Okay. So how does an expat make a living in Argentina? So I suppose I'm trying to work out.
What do I do?
Yeah, you've become part of the global community.
I have, yeah. Well, I had a business, a rental furnished apartment business in Sydney, which I obviously couldn't run easily from afar. So that's when I refocused again on this trading skill, which I've, I think I've mentioned to you prior to the interview that I've had this kind of talent in my blood since I was a kid, having chats with my dad about shares and the stock market and investments and properties and all those kind of things. I had it in my blood. Also, my grandfather was a highly successful investor and a consultant, tax consultant. That, yeah, I think he passed on that DNA to me. Let's put it that way. But yeah, so what do? I reinvented myself and made stock market trading my career. And I trade the United States financial markets, focusing mainly on technology stocks with high growth potential. Great business models like Tesla and Amazon. And they call them the FANG stocks, you know, Facebook, all these. Well, they're in the news a lot. I also trade other stocks, but I do find that I spend a lot of time investing my energy in researching and trading those stocks. So that's how I make my living, through the stock market. And I'm self-taught.
Yep. So before we go any further, can you explain what you believe is the difference between being a trader and an investor?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and I love to tackle it. I believe the skills are very different. The mindset's very different, but there are some common elements. The difference, trading is something that you're actively doing all the time. Whether or not I call myself a trader, I'll give you an example. Like today, I didn't actually trade at all today during the market opening hours. Why? Because it wasn't convenient. There wasn't, of the stocks on my watch list this week, there wasn't one that was hitting the right point, in the right zone for me to take a position to buy. I buy low and sell high. That's my strategy. That's called a long position. I like to keep it simple. As I said, I'm self-taught. So to answer your question, how is that different from investing versus trading? Well, trading, you kind of accumulate on the go profits, which over time add up to a large amount. Investing is something that you have a much, much longer vision, long-term view. And I also did that in the Sydney property market, acquiring apartments, which I then later converted into a furnished apartment business. But that was a very long, one of my properties I had for 28 years. And obviously in that time, you have this investment, a tremendous investment powerhouse of capital growth that you get because of the, what do they call it, the accumulation of inflation effect or cumulative effect of time and the relative change in values over time. So this is kind of the key difference with investing and trading. Trading is kind of like very hands-on and active and looking to get little bits here and there, little chunks. Sometimes you make a good amount, which someone would say would be a nice amount for the day, $500, $1,000. Other times you make really big trades, but it all accumulates. And whereas with investing, it's a much more different mindset. Trading's a very emotional thing. You really need to have to understand your emotions, understand what your strengths and weaknesses are in trading in order to be a great trader, and journal all your trades in order to improve. Whereas investing is something where you can really not get too emotional about it, particularly if it's, say, like property investing or long-term shareholding. There are people, some very successful fund managers that invest, and they have a time horizon of 15 or 20 years. And so obviously the focus, the key difference is the time frame, I would say.
And you mentioned logging your trades. It's important to keep track of them, I suppose, so you learn from your gains and your mistakes, but also from a tax point of view too, I imagine you need to keep track of things.
Absolutely, yeah, for both reasons. But really the main purpose is, as I was trying to get to, because of the way trading is such a loner sport, you really don't have great feedback from anyone else. You're not working in a team, in a small team of other traders. You could be, and actually that's one of my business goals, is to set up a prop firm with and train 15 young traders. And in that sense, you're working in a team environment. But most traders, like me, individual stock traders, it's just you and your trading platform. And so the only way that you're going to improve is by logging your entry and exit price, logging a description of why, a thesis, why did I get into this trade? Did it work? Did it not work? Did I profit? Did I not? Where can I improve? And it's only through the journaling process that you reach this self-improvement that's essential in trading.
How do you minimize your losses?
Losses? A simple answer to that is great capital management. Now, I don't want to use big words, but money management. So it's hard to replace your capital. Say, you know, you have capital. Maybe most people have own a home or paying off a home, or they have a nest egg of capital. Maybe it's their retirement fund, something like that. Now, you need to protect that capital, even when you're trading. So the key to it is good risk management on the capital protection side, even if it means that you make a small loss on a trade because it went against you, cutting the trade short. I've been very fortunate in that I think I probably have a natural ability with financial on the financial side, and I'm very good at managing capital finance. So it isn't sort of a problem for me, but I know a lot of people getting into trading for the first time find out that their every trade they do is a loss, and they sort of go through an emotional bad phase, if you like, of feeling really depressed about the whole thing. And how do these people make a profit? So how I do it, how I minimize my losses, is I focus on technicals, and I keep it very simple. I look for support and resistance lines that are multi-month, multi-year. So if you look at a chart, I wish it would be great to bring one up, but it doesn't matter. If you look at the chart of a particular stock and you look back over the last week, the last month, the last 6 months, year or 3 years even of the stock, and you see, are there any points where it keeps coming back to the same price? We call that a support level. So, and I'll give you the example of Tesla, which I've traded a lot, and that has two really key support and resistance levels that are really obvious, really clear once you look at the chart over a year or 3 years or anything like that. It has a big support level around 280, where it sort of broke away. Prior to that, from startup, it hit a peak of 280. And then in the last year, it suddenly just broke out of that all-time high of 280, which is a support resistance level. And when it breaks through that resistance level, it becomes a support level. And it hit a new all-time high of 380. And 380 became the new support resistance level. So we now have a channel that Tesla trades in between 280 and 380. So how I minimize my losses is by keeping my entries as close as possible to a multi-month, multi-year support level that's really strong. So that's the short answer of how I work.
Right. Thank you.
Your listeners can understand that.
Well, I sort of understand that.
Yeah, it's hard to, without showing you a chart, it's hard to sort of bring it across if you're a graphical person, yeah, which I am.
I'm in a group that I look for growth stocks that have good fundamentals, and they have the tutor and the former tutor are quite successful, and quite a few of the students have become too. So I'm sticking with that group for now. And
fabulous.
And they keep talking about, they only look at weekly chart.
People have there's so many technical analysis tools out there. You can get really confused with it all. I started my journey into learning technical analysis, and frankly, I keep my whole trading thing is super simple. I keep my chart and technical analysis very simple and straightforward, and my approach to trading is very simple and straightforward, and I find that works for me.
Okay. How important is it to have role models, do you think?
Well, that's a great question, and it leads to a better question. And it's fabulous. The role models are just fabulous. I count, obviously, as a Tesla fan, I count Elon Musk as probably one of the most profound engineering CEOs out there on the planet that exists in the business world now. He really is an amazing character. Don't really know how to summarize it. His vision for colonizing Mars, his vision for transforming to sustainable production and consumption of energy on the planet so we can survive as a species. He has goals that are way bigger than himself. He's a profound mentor. Role models, look, I could reel off Mother Teresa, Einstein, Henry Ford. There's lots, even actually one woman that I look up to, the chief operating officer of SpaceX, Elon Musk's business, this company that's goal is to start a colony on Mars. Now, she's a mechanical engineer by training, and she's really been the driving success why SpaceX has been so successful, because she's been able to sell the launch program to NASA, to corporate America, to any company that wants to launch a satellite. SpaceX has been the go-to company for satellite launches, and they've made such a profit doing that that they're able to further their bigger goal mission in life, which is to colonize Mars and get create reusable rockets, which will make rocket travel affordable for everyone. Her name is Glynn Shotwell.
Do you think as older Australians or older anyone, do you think that we can leave a legacy for our children or our grandchildren that not necessarily involves money?
Absolutely. And this is where it comes back to something that's really changed my life very recently. And that is really honing in on your life passion, your life purpose. Why are you here on this planet? What are you supposed to be doing? What are you meant to be doing with your life? What is the purpose? And that journey, that inner journey that you go through to find it, can be helped with a coach, reading books, self-help books. I found the Success Principles by Jack Canfield through a movie called The Secret. He was one of the characters featured on the movie The Secret, and he resonated with me. And anyway, this book has really started me on a self-improvement journey that I wouldn't believe possible otherwise. To get back to your point, like, how important is it? I think that it's just really essential. Yeah. You know,
we pick up things from the people that we associate with, don't we?
Absolutely.
And knowing it.
Absolutely, yeah. It's mentioned in the book, actually, to keep harping on Jack's book, but he mentions one real clever tactic, and that is make a list of all the people in your life, in your family, in your business, whatever, and put a plus or a minus sign, whether they're positive or negative, the personality. And then try to surround yourself with 5 or 10 people, new friends, if you have to change friends, or new colleagues, if all your work colleagues are negative, that are both positive and encouraging of you, but also even better if they earn more than you, they're more successful than you. And in that way, unconsciously and consciously, by spending a lot of time around these people, you're just going to find, I could try that. I'm going to try that this week and see if my friend Greg, who does that and is really successful, see if it works for me. So, yeah, surround yourself by positive and successful people is definitely a key that would help anyone on that journey of finding a life purpose.
As we get older, we can have the opportunity to do this because we're probably more freer of our previous restrictions. I know you've started a family later in life, but for some of us that have started it early, we end up approaching in our 50s and 60s of having that empty nest, and we're not doing stuff for everyone else, so we can finally start doing stuff for ourselves.
For yourself, exactly.
And that's when a lot of us have got the time to do things for ourselves and for others, or work in the community. And
absolutely,
that's what I found. And there's a lot of people who get to retirement age or close to retirement age, and they're not really prepared for what they're going to do because they've been so busy working.
Yeah, understand.
Is it ever too late to start turning your life around?
Absolutely not. We talked about this before. You've also come across the movie, the book, The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, a fellow Australian woman. It's never too late because why is it never too late? Because we are creative beings. We create our own reality, assisted by the universe, by our thoughts and images and the things that we focus on consistently every day actually come to be. By the law of attraction, they come into our life, and that's because our thoughts become things. So, yeah, it's definitely never too late to start. I'm a living, walking example of that because I'm going through a dramatic life change right now by implementing a lot of these principles myself. And through that process, I want to help anyone and everyone. I have an 84-year-old mum who's still alive, and I still think that she's a very active soul. She doesn't want to sit down in a nursing home chair and watch the telly at all. She's always out and about on a scooter and talking to people and doing things. She's great in that aspect. But no, it's never too late. I always say that you need to start, try to find a way. Try this exercise to find your life purpose would be one of the early chapters in the Success Principles books. There's several ways to get to your life purpose. One way is to write a list of the things that you just love, where you have the most joy and excitement. Write a long list, could be 100 things, and try to find a common theme in those things and see if you could turn it into something that would make money. So align your life around those things. Another really good one to find your life purpose, which is also mentioned in the book, is a four-step process. The first step is to, what are two personal characteristics you have? You might be charismatic, creative, who knows? And then the second question is, and how could you put those personality traits in action in relation to other people? And then thirdly, in an ideal world, how would the people in the world interact with each other? And then the fourth step is you put those three things that you wrote down together into a little phrase, which is your life purpose.
So we need to get back to now. So you've established yourself as a trader. You're successful doing that. So would you be able to share some tools that you use and then how you work with people?
Right. The tools I use are EdgeWonk, which I've shared with you, Anne, the website. So you have to journal your trades. How you work with people? Well, in this day and age, it's all connected online. We work through most traders, and I personally are very active on Twitter. And so I put out every week on Sunday night, I put out a weekly watch list, and then every time I make a trade, I make an entry, a tweet. I tweet my trades, and I tweet the reasoning, why I traded, what I made profit on, etc. So you get to understand my style, why I trade, how I trade, how I make money. So I interact with other people on Twitter. I can message them, I can follow them on Twitter, other traders who I look up to, and other people can follow me on Twitter who like to understand how I work and what is my trading style, because there's many different styles. Trading is very much an individual thing that is a reflection of your own personality, and you'll develop a style that could be completely different to mine and equally successful. So, yeah, that's to answer your question.
Yeah.
I interact in that way. My goal is to start a trading firm where I'll train other people one-on-one. I do have a one-on-one clients. I get such a joy in teaching other people what I've learned over 20 years of self-taught trading, and I get such pleasure in communicating that. I'm going to write a book to further that cause of helping other people in trading and success principles.
Well, it's been really interesting chatting to you. Just before I go, How long would your average trades last, just to clarify?
Yeah, so my style is what we call a long swing trader. So that's someone who buys low and sells high. That's what we call a long trader. And swing trade refers to someone who usually would hold it for a day or several days or several weeks or even months. Swing trade, so you're not in and out in 2 minutes. Although my style is kind of a bit of a combination of the two, because depending on my reading of what the price action in that stock is, I change on the fly. So I might have come into this trade with a particular strategy in mind, and I'll just use an example this week. I'm trading a lot of Facebook. I used to trade a lot of Tesla, but now this week I'm trading a lot of Facebook. Why am I trading Facebook? Because it's showing a pattern, a lovely pattern that I like to follow, and that is it retraced a big fall down from 220 almost down to 170. So it's a big drop. And then it started to stabilize and started to come back up again. And at that point, I became really interested in trading this stock, because with that, we call that a gap fill. When it comes back in a bowl shape, back up to where it was and maybe even higher. So I'm trading this stock, but I haven't been patient with it because I've seen that it's moving around a lot. And so what I've done so far is made some good day trading profits or overnight swing trades, but that I've still come back in because it's come back a bit again and I'm still hoping for a really big trade. But I'll use the analogy of a cricket match. You go for the singles, you know, one run. You have to keep doing that. And then sometimes you make a really big profit. But you've got to combine, you've got to be open to doing the two things. So that would be my approach.
Okay. And the what do you use for your
charting? Software, brokers. Yeah. So one of the early brokers that I got started with many years ago was, it's now owned by TD Ameritrade. I trade the American market, so most of the brokers I use are American-based. It had a site called thinkorswim.com, and they had great charts. I'm a creature of habit. I like their charts. I do now use Interactive Brokers as my main broker for trading, and they also have their own charts, and I'm kind of trying to change my habit and get used to their charts. So I use those two products as my tools for trading.
Right. Well, thanks very much. It's been really interesting chatting to you today. I'm just so in awe of people that have uprooted themselves and gone and lived in a foreign country and have settled in very nicely, but also that you're making your living from being online as well. So congratulations.
Thanks. It's a real pleasure, Anne. I've loved every minute of this interview. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.